the basic question I would think most people want to know is the country safer today than it was 10 years ago?
I think obviously we're safer today than we were 10 years ago on a number of counts. First, there have not been any major acts or attempts at terrorism within the boundaries of our country in the last 10 years, except for two failed attempts. Attempted bombing of the airliner on Christmas Eve in Detroit a couple of years ago, and the attempted bombing in Times Square, both of which went awry. So those things didn't happen. Had they been more sophisticated and had those attacks worked, obviously we would be in a much different situation. And so there's a couple reasons. One, we've been lucky. Both Detroit and Times Square illustrate that, and luck is important. Secondly, I think it's fair to say that airline travel is much more protected and much more safe than it was 10 years ago. The cockpits have been hardened. How we deal with hijackers is different than what the rules were 10 years ago. The screening at the airports is much more intense and sophisticated. Travelers taking off the shoes, taking off anything metal, going through, occasionally being subject to pat downs or frisks. But there's no question that we have not had a repetition of what happened on 9/11. But it doesn't mean we're safe. We are safer, but not safe. And the report that we issued the other day was meant to demonstrate that we could be even safer, we believe, if the unfilled recommendations of the 9/11 Commission were to be acted upon now.
What would you say are among the most important of those recommendations that need to be addressed?
The first is the question of first responders, police and fire, being able to talk to each other at the scene of a disaster or at the scene of a terrorist act. They can't now. They can in New York City, but they can't in the rest of the nation. They couldn't on 9/11. The police and fire departments of the city of New York could not speak to each other over the radios. They were different spectrum. So for 10 years, we have been pushing for a release of part of the radio spectrum by Congress that would be devoted to first responders to be used in emergencies, either terrorist acts or natural disasters like hurricanes. We had no first responder capability at Katrina. We didn't have it at Irene. So for both the natural disasters and for terrorist attacks, we need the people on the scene to be able to talk to each other to save lives. But get it done, for heaven's sake. 10 years after 9/11, if the police and fire can't talk to each other somewhere in the nation, that's crazy.
Now, here we are a decade after these attacks, and I can remember in the days and the weeks and the months that followed, there seemed to be an effort underway that to do whatever was necessary. Have we become more complacent when it comes to airline security, when it comes to issues like first responders and the ability to talk with one another? Are we becoming more complacent in trying to get these issues resolved?
Yes, for a couple of reasons. One, Congress always moves slowly. There are competing constituencies. Two, the 9/11 attacks were localized, that is, New York, Washington, Pennsylvania. The rest of the country did not suffer physical damage, did not see loss of life. And, of course, the further you are away from the scene of a disaster, either natural or man-made, the easier it is for those people who are not intimately involved to lose interest or to assume that we're going to be okay and to get on with their lives. And we certainly have confronted other issues since that time, a massive recession, teetering on the edge of another recession, involved in three wars, it's easy to lose the advantage of recollection, memory, and easy to put this issue aside when nothing bad has happened. But you can't, because there will be another attack somewhere in the country in some way. It won't be using airliners to crash into buildings. It'll use other means, more simple means, more easily carried out plots.
Of course, you have been in politics for a long time. You understand how that works. When we're talking about the need to invest a lot of money, and I assume many of these recommendations would require quite an investment, is that sellable to the general public at this point?
Well, actually, you know what? Most of them don't require a lot of money. We spend $80 billion a year, at least, on national intelligence efforts now. $80 billion, okay? And we have all of these federal agencies involved and responsible. But if you look at the nine areas that we said were still falling short, with the exception of the devotion of the radio spectrum to first responders, what we've called for is the elimination of bureaucracy. Take for example, the recommendation as to Congress. There are now over 100 committees and subcommittees of Congress that have a piece of the action involving intelligence and national security. Our intelligence apparatus and those who run it, and our homeland security apparatus and those who run it, spend an inordinate amount of time testifying before all of these committees of Congress, preparing to testify before all of these committees of Congress, when they could be using that time to better ensure our security.